Luke chapter 18. I was talking to a mom this week who has two kids in college, and she was describing that it's time for the kids to come home, and this mom knew what that meant. That meant that not only were her kids coming home, but they were bringing all their dirty clothes. So this mom was preparing for them by getting all their clothes clean and making sure the wash and dryer were empty, because she knew exactly what she'd be doing as soon as these kids got home. And so today's message is called Laundry Day. And you notice I've got some laundry up here. We'll be talking about laundry today. But we're turning to Luke chapter 18. When you came in today, you should have received a bulletin, and inside that bulletin is a half-sheet note page where you can follow along with today's message. There are fill-in-the-blanks that will be up on the screen as we go along. So here's what's happening in the story. We have Jesus, who has been meeting with people. He's been doing amazing things. He's with his disciples, and at this particular point In Luke chapter 18, there's people coming up to him with a certain question of, what do I got to do to have eternal life? And he's been answering these questions. And this particular story that we're looking at, it's usually referred to as the rich young ruler, and it's found in three out of the four Gospels. And we're going to be looking at the Luke version. So Luke chapter 18, verse 18, reading from the message, it says this: "One day, one of the local officials asked him," who's Jesus, "good teacher, what must I do to deserve eternal life?" And that's what we're going to find out today. Let's pray. God, you're awesome. We thank you for what you are doing here, what you're doing at the university. And God, we pray in these next few moments that you would speak to both our hearts and our minds. Show us your way. In Jesus' name we all said, amen. How many of you right now at home, you have laundry you need to do? You got dirty clothes, you need to be doing some laundry. And it's the worst, you know, when you need to do laundry, because then you're down to the clothes that you don't wear as often. You got your favorites, and then you get to your not-so-favorites, and it's like, ah, I got to do laundry. And then you might get to the point that some clothes that you wear don't necessarily get into the laundry basket because, hey, they might smell good enough to wear another time so I can go one more day without doing. I mean, am I speaking truth here, anybody? Yes, yes, okay. It's not just me. Good. But yes, but you can tell when laundry is clean or when it's dirty by how it smells. Now, I have a large family. There are seven of us. And it just kind of happened to us. We didn't quite realize we had a problem. And the problem centered around laundry. We just, like, every time we did laundry, there was always laundry. And every time we did laundry, there was still laundry to do. And we're like, what is going on? There just seems to always be laundry. And then my wife one day sat down and did the math. One person for one day wears how many pieces of clothing? Let's just average it at five. It's an easy number to do math. One person, five pieces of clothing. Let's say in that day, you do two things. Maybe you got a set of pajamas and you got regular clothes, or you do an activity. So let's just double that and say, you know what? We might have 10 pieces of clothing per person. Well, we have seven people in our family. And you take 10 pieces of clothes times 7, that's 70 articles of clothing that are being dirtied every day. That's pretty much a laundry load and a half. And so no wonder we couldn't wait for laundry day. We got to have, like, laundry every day, or else we got to buy lots of clothes for the kids and just, you know, you get in the picture, right? Laundry is kind of a big deal in our family, but so is figuring out if laundry is clean or dirty, because you just don't know. And the way you know is you sniff it. How's it smell? Is this a clean shirt? I hope it is. But I'm so thankful that just recently, in about the last 6 months, they came out with this new product that I just love, 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 because it really matters to me how laundry smells, because I want to wear clean clothes. And they came out with this product that looks like this. It's this Downy Fresh Protect Odor Defense, and it's got all these little beads and stuff. And what you do is you take this, you fill up the cap, and you put it in the washing machine. And you wash your clothes, and when it comes out, they smell really, really good. I love it. So, I mean, Like, I had a crisis the other week that we had run out. And I'm like, I got to go to the store because I want my clothes to smell clean. Because, you know, there's several steps of what it takes to clean laundry. You can't just throw it in water, right? You can't just use any soap. And you just can't use any setting on the washing machine. But we'll talk more about that later. You see, this guy who was approaching Jesus, he was asking the wrong question to the right guy. He was asking the wrong question to the right guy. He was saying, I want to know, good teacher, what must I do to deserve eternal life? Not realizing who he was really talking to. And we can kind of speculate for a second and say, okay, did he know who Jesus was and knew that he was God and just was not admitting it? Or was he just clueless and thought, hey, this is a guy who seems to know what he's talking about, so I'll just talk to him and say, hey, dude, I got a question. It's like when you go to the store and you're not getting the service you need, what do you ask for? The manager, right? Because you want results. And a few weeks ago, we were meeting with the superintendent that's in charge of getting our house built, and we're still waiting for a house, and yes, the latest news is that it's probably another month, which has been the ongoing story now, and which, I don't know, we're about ready to give up, but that's okay. But we met with this guy, and he's telling us it's going to be a long time, and here's what went wrong, and we're so sorry. And after Shalise started crying and everything, our response was, well, we need to talk to somebody. We need to find somebody who can tell us what to do here, because it's not enough just to have the information. We want somebody in authority to tell us what can we do about this. And we were actually shocked because the guy said, it's me. And we're like, what? Wait, no. We want to talk to somebody who can do something about this. And he's like, you're talking to him. It's me. And we said it again. We said, no, we need to make a phone call or something. Like, who's the boss in charge of this whole thing? And he's like, it is me. I'm the one who can make you happy. And it just took us by surprise. And I can just imagine, based off what the Bible says here in the next verse, of this guy asking, good teacher, what must I do? And he's like, why do you call me good? Only God is good. And Jesus was revealing that, hey, dude, you're not just asking anybody this question. You're asking the guy who really knows. You're talking to God himself. And so if you really want to know, what must I do to serve eternal life? Dude, I'm about to give you the answer, and it is the answer. But to this guy, it was all about a formula. It was like, okay, what he really wanted was a laundry list to check off. Like, if I do this, I get this. He was looking for a laundry list. He was looking for, what do I need to do? What must I do? When we hear the term laundry list, we kind of think of a big, long, exaggerated list that goes on and on and on. And we may not realize where the term laundry list comes from. You see, there was a time and a day where we did not have washers and dryers in our own homes, and we had to send our laundry out to get done. And laundry had lots of different requirements, and if everybody's laundry went to one place, they had to have a way to keep track of whose laundry was what did it look like, who did it belong to, how does it need to be cared for. And so they created a list to describe when you brought in your basket, your bag of your laundry. They would describe, okay, we've got this many overalls, we got this many collarless shirts, we got this many cotton shirts, we got this many undergarments. I mean, they'd make a list, and it was the laundry list. And they would know they did a good job when they could check everything off the list when they handed it back to you. And that's what a laundry list. You're saying, Pastor Ryan, I didn't know I was coming for a history lesson today. But do you remember the first time you had to do laundry? For me, it was 13 years old. And it was in a situation that I will never forget because it wasn't exactly what you think. You see, my parents made it possible for me to go on a really cool trip. You see, I was part of the Boy Scouts when I was in my early teens, and there was a jamboree coming up, and I was living in England, and this jamboree was going to be in Oslo, Norway. And I'm like, Mom, Dad, I really want to go to this trip. It's going to be so amazing. Who gets to go to an international jamboree as a Boy Scout? It'd be awesome. And so my parents sacrificed. They got the money together. They sent me. And I don't know what they were thinking, because I was a 13-year-old young man with a group of other boys, and we're going to a foreign country where we didn't have cell phones and communication and everything like we got today. I can't imagine right now sending off my 13-year-old to go into another country. But we did anyways. And there was a little bit of culture shock that took place at this jamboree. You see, imagine thousands and thousands of tents. It created a tent city in all these fields. And there's some problems when it comes to living in that type of environment, that water is kind of scarce, and you got to have certain water that's potable water that you can use for cooking and drinking, and you got to make your fires, and you got your tents, and you got your porta potties they put out for that. But we discovered very quickly that there was something missing. There was no way to really get clean. And when you get a bunch of boys living outside in the campfire and everything, what happens? We start stinking. Oh man. You know it's bad when the boys themselves are realizing they're stinking. Sometimes when I walk into my boy's room, I wonder what in the world died in here. Do you know what I'm talking about? It's like, how did the smell aware? But that's what we were experiencing. And we're like, what are we going to do? How are we going to clean our clothes? We can't even take showers or baths or what's going on. And so we began exploring, and we tried to figure out how can we get clean, and we found a lake. And we went to the lake, and we took our clothes with us, and we took ourselves in it, and we dunked ourselves in the lake, and we took all our clothes and dunked them and everything, and we're like, we got to get these things clean. It's awful. And we brought them back to our camp and realized, wait a second, we're in Norway, and although it's summertime, it's still kind of chilly, and our clothes wouldn't dry. So we had to put wet clothes back on. And then when we did, for some reason, they stunk, but in a different way. We didn't quite get it, and it kind of blew our minds and everything, but you kind of need some things to do laundry. There's some rules to laundry, and you got to do it the right way. And, you know, most people don't experience their first time doing laundry until they actually have to leave home. And I remember the first time I did laundry, had to go to a laundromat while in college, and there was always somebody. We actually kind of hung out in the laundry room just to see if somebody was really doing it for the first time. And you know they were a first-timer when out of the dryer they pull out pink clothes. And we just laughed and laughed, but they just didn't get it right. There's certain things involved with doing laundry. And here we are. This guy is asking, what must I do? He's thinking there's got to be a step-by-step-by-step way that to do this right, to be all cleaned up, to have eternal life. But Jesus knew what he really needed. But instead, he went ahead and he gave him a list. Jesus gave him a list and then added the thing that he held on to the most. So he's talking to Jesus. He's saying, what must I do? Jesus says, hey, no one's a good teacher except God himself, so let me tell you what you got to do. And he started naming off commandments. He said, you got to avoid illicit sex. You got to not kill anyone. You got to not lie. You got to not cheat. Not got to steal. You got to obey your mom and dad. He just named off these things that we find in the Ten Commandments. And this young man who was hearing this, he was excited. He was like, yes, I've done all of these things since I was a wee little boy. But Jesus didn't stop there. Jesus said, well, that's all good, but there's one thing you still lack. And Jesus looked right at him, and he said, take everything you own, sell it all, give the money to the poor, and then come and follow me. That seems hard. And it seemed hard to this guy because he just had a price tag put on eternal salvation that he wasn't willing to pay. You see, when he was faced with the cost, the man wouldn't pay the price. The Bible describes that the man got really sad because he was very wealthy. He had accumulated a lot of things. And here, Jesus, who is claiming to be God, saying, the only way I could check everything off the list is if I get rid of everything and I'm poor and I go follow him. And at first glance, we can look at the scripture and we can say, this is a weird scripture. Why would Jesus be talking? I mean, is that really the price of salvation? That we've got to be poor all the time, and if we're rich, we got to give everything? This doesn't make sense. And wait, this just confirms everything I've thought about church, is that they're only interested in my money. And that's not what Jesus was really doing. But this really shocked the disciples. The disciples were like, Jesus, whoa, really? That's really the answer? This guy just walked away from salvation because you gave him a price he wasn't willing to pay. They're like, Jesus, what's up with that? Jesus said, you know, it's really hard for rich people to get in God's kingdom. Then that really messed with the disciples. They're like, whoa, that's crazy. Who can do it? And Jesus says a scripture that doesn't quite make sense to us. It's kind of a weird thing. He says this. He says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than it is for a rich person to enter God's kingdom. Now, we could do some studies and kind of figure out what was he really meaning. Was he literally thinking like a camel going through the eye of a needle, and that's, whoa, kind of crazy? Or was he talking about something historical that we don't know? And I've heard some things and some studies that they believe that there was different gates around the city, and there's one particular gate that was called the eye of the needle because it was shorter and smaller, and camels had to work really hard and like kind of go on their knees and kind of trudge through. But either way that you look at it, whether you're looking at the literal translation of this, or you're figuring out a historical translation, we can pretty much decide from this that Jesus was describing something that was impossible. Something that was really, really hard. Disciples asked, then who can enter God's kingdom? Who can have eternal salvation? Who? And Jesus said, with man, it can seem impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So what was Jesus really saying? Because you know what? This passage of scripture, this is a hard one. I mean, there's a bunch of easier passages that we could pick today to learn from, to discover who God is and what he means to us. And this is a hard one because if we take it at its pure first glance, we're saying, whoa, wow, God just wants our money, and you got to give everything away in order to, and you got to be poor in order to have eternal life. And that maybe because Jesus answered with this laundry list of things, that maybe it is something about what we do, but that's not the case at all. You see, this man was asking the wrong question to the right guy. He asked the question, what must I do? And the question really needs to be, what must I give up? See, Jesus knew who this guy was. He knew what was important to him. He knew where his heart was, and he just wanted to know, would you be willing to surrender all? You see, because that's simply what it is. It is not a laundry list of things that we've got to do. It's not if we keep this, if we're just a good person. There is nothing that we can do to have eternal life. Nothing. We are all sinners. None of us perfect. Without God, we face eternal judgment in hell. But because God loved us so much, he sent his son to pay the price for us, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but will have eternal life. It is a gift that he has given us. Nothing that we can do to get it. This guy asked, what must I do to deserve it? And the answer really is nothing. However, there is something that God does want from all of us. And we can infer that from what Jesus was asking here. God wants all of you. It's funny, but it's true. He wants all of you. Have you ever had somebody offer to do your laundry for you? If someone offers to do your laundry for you, you've got a crisis on your hands, because on one hand, it's like, wow, yes, somebody's going to do my laundry. But on the other hand, wait, they're going to do my laundry, like all of my laundry? I mean, do I need to pick and choose, like, what they're going to get? And when I was dating Shalee in college, she made the offer to me that, hey, you know what? I don't have a ton of laundry to do. If you want to throw yours in with mine, that's great. You know, can save some money and everything. We don't have to do extra loads. And I'm like, this is awesome. Wait, no. You know, she was nice, and, you know, and I didn't want to disappoint her and her generosity. And so I had to come up with some laundry. So I had to come up with the safe things. You know, here's my shirts and here's my jeans. And she never got my socks or my undergarments. And yeah. Because that would be embarrassing, wouldn't it? And that's how we approach God. God's saying, hey, come to me. And we're like, hey, that's awesome, but I'll give you this and I'll give you this. But man, there's some things that nobody needs to see. Ain't nobody want to see that. We don't give him all, and that's simply what he wants. He wants all of us. He wants all of you. Nothing held back. And for every one of us, there is something that we hold most dear. Maybe it's a dark secret. Maybe it's just something that which is so personal. Maybe just something that we're just embarrassed about. Maybe it's just something that I just cannot. I've been hurt too many times, and I'm just going to hold this close to the chest here. We all have something like that. And this whole thing with eternal life happens because we believe that God loved us so much that he sent his son to pay the price for us. It says that whoever believes will not perish but have eternal life. God did not hold back his son. Jesus still even had a choice. But he said, God, not my will, but your will. And he went through with something that was so awful and so terrible. Jesus didn't hold back. And the thing that they're asking, the thing why Jesus was even talking to this rich young guy, he's saying, will you hold anything back from God? And for this young guy, it was his stuff. It was his stuff. It was the things that he had accomplished, that he worked hard for, the things that he had accumulated, and this was his pride and his joy. And Jesus knew exactly what button to push, saying, hey, were you willing to give it all to me? And then come and follow me. God wants all of you, but is it worth it? So as the disciples are sitting and talking with Jesus, they're like, whoa, this is like deep stuff, Jesus. It's kind of like impossible. And we're hearing these things about, hey, it's hard for rich people because they put so much value and worth, not just in their money or their stuff, but in their own hard work and what they can do. And why should I give up what I can do? But Peter, he's trying to figure this out, and he comes up with something. He's like, wait a second. Hey, Jesus, wait, maybe this is some good news for us. And here's what he says in Luke chapter 18, verse 28. Peter said, we left everything we owned, and we followed you, didn't we? Oh, maybe disciples are better than other people. We've done this. And Jesus said, yes. And you won't regret it. He goes on to say, no one who has sacrificed home, spouse, brothers and sisters, parents, children, whatever will lose out. It will all come back multiplied many times over in your lifetime. And then the bonus of eternal life. So, whether you are just exploring God today or even known him for a long time, the question comes down to this. What is God asking you to surrender today? We just heard from Abby. And Abby was following after God, and she'd grown up knowing God, and she was going off to Bible school. That's a good thing, learning about God. And it was at the end of her third year, by her own words, that God challenged her, saying, "But what are you really doing?" And she got asked, "Would you be willing to sacrifice your friends and your comfort and your home and what you know and the fun of being in college? And would you follow me to a place you've never been? And will you do something that you may have never done before?" And she had a decision to make. A decision. Was she going to surrender all? And in that process, she had determined, is it worth it to give all that up? See, we're talking about a perspective change. In just a few moments, there's going to be a time where we're going to be doing water baptism. We've got the stage undone back here. We've got almost warm water in the tub. And there are some people in this room who have made the decision that they've already decided, hey, I'm following after God and I'm going to obey him. I'm not going to hold anything back. But they're taking another step, something that they're not holding back, and that is letting everybody know what's happening. And that's kind of a big deal to be able to go public to say, hey, I want all of you guys to know that I've asked Jesus into my heart. I've given my life to him. I'm going to live for him. I'm going to obey him. I'm going to continue to learn and obey. To see evidence of this, of people in this room who are surrendering it all. But no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, no matter how long you've known God or not known God, today the question really is, God, what do you need me to surrender? And I've said this many times, and I will continue to say it as long as I have the privilege of being your pastor. I am not above growing in God. I am not perfect. I am a human being just like you who's just answered a call to give it all, to surrender, to say, God, whatever you want to do with my life, hey, I'm yours. Does that make me special? No. Just means I'm trying to be obedient. And so in preparation for this message, I thought, God, I'm going to get up there and I'm going to ask people to have a sincere talk with God and say, God, what is it that you need me to surrender? And say, God, in light of that, I need to just take a time out and I need to ask you that question myself. And so I prayed. I said, God, is there something I'm holding back from you? Is there something that I know better to do that I am not doing? What is it that I need to do? God, just show me. And that's a dangerous, dangerous prayer to ask. Because he'll show you. And then you have the choice of what to do with that information. And as a minister, we have some different rules on what we need to do. And one of the things that we have to do as ministers is we don't actually tithe to our church. We have to tithe to the district office as part of our ministerial obligation. And I was real faithful with doing that in Kansas. And I realized that God pointed out, like he just took this beam spotlight and said, hey, have you done it yet in Wisconsin? And it's not that I was spending the money or anything. It was just sitting in my account. I just hadn't gotten around to doing it. But here was the spotlight shining down on me that, Ryan, are you obeying me? Have you given it? Are you holding something back? And I really I'm so sorry. I promise I'm going to take care of this the first chance I get. And within the hour, I jumped online. I figured out what it was. And I'm like, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to hold anything back from you. So today, I stand up here as your pastor, but also as a fellow journeyer in this journey of life of following Jesus. That every single one of us, none of us is perfect. Every one of us is holding something back. And maybe for you, it might be like me, that, hey, I'm not honoring God with what he's blessed me with. Maybe that's you, but maybe it's something else for you, that, hey, I'm not trusting God with my relationships. Or maybe God, you know, Sundays are yours, but man, the weekends are mine. Maybe for you, it's trusting him for the first time. Maybe for you, it's all about knowledge, that I don't understand everything about this God thing and it doesn't make sense. And until I figure every single bit about this, I'm going to be skeptical. I'm going to say, I don't understand, so I'm just not going to be a part of this. Yet God today is saying, will you surrender all? When I talk to people about getting baptized, I share a couple things that blew my mind when I studied this and looked at it. And because depending on what your background is, you may not quite understand what does this baptism really mean. And there are some groups out there that make it a really big deal, and some groups that, man, it's just not really a big deal. And so what are we supposed to believe? What are we supposed to do with this whole baptism thing? And let me just share with you what I believe and what our church believes here. You do not need to get baptized in order to have eternal salvation. That wasn't on the list. Like, what? Wait, Pastor, wait, you don't have to get baptized. Doesn't churches baptize? Wait, I don't quite understand. And here's the deal. The Bible says, if you believe, if you say it with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, confess in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you are saved. It is in that moment that you are part of God's family. It is in that moment that you are forgiven. It is in that moment that God is with you. It is in that moment that he's in charge of your life. It is in that moment that your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. It is in that moment that you are going to get to go to heaven and have eternal life, and that is awesome. It's in that moment, the Bible describes, that all the angels in heaven, they stop what they're doing when one person decides to join God's family, and they throw a huge party because this is what it's all about. But it's in that moment that all those cool things happen. It is not a prerequisite to also get baptized, or else the guy hanging on the cross with Jesus is in a little bit of trouble. You see, there was two thieves next to him on the cross. One thief said, hey, you said you're the Son of God. Then if you are, prove it. Take us down off this cross and save us. And the other guy said, hey, he really is the Son of God. We deserve what we are getting, the punishment. But Jesus, when you get to your kingdom, remember me. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. There is a decision in a moment. So then why should we get baptized? What is this? What is this whole thing? Why do churches place such an importance on it? Because let's just talk about the next step. You know, making a decision is a very personal thing. Praying to God, a very personal thing. As a matter of fact, if nobody knows we did it, then we can kind of recant on it, right? We can say, hey, well, did that really, you know, what was I thinking? And it's kind of like laundry. Who knows if it's clean or dirty? But when you can get to the point that you say, you know what? I don't want to hide it. I want people to know about it. I want people to know about the change that's taking place in my life, that I have placed Jesus in charge of my life, that I have asked for forgiveness. And that's what baptism is. Baptism is our opportunity to share with everybody who's watching, saying, hey, all of you that are watching, I want you to know there's been a change inside. I have decided. I want you guys to hold me accountable, but I want you to know it's a new day. And it takes guts and it takes courage to do that. Because then it becomes really real. Really real for you in that moment. And it creates a word picture. You see, we believe that we should get baptized the same way that Jesus got baptized, and that's completely going underneath the water. And the idea of completely going underneath the water creates this symbolism, this picture of, it's like the old us has died and is buried. And when we come out of the water, the new us with new life in Jesus has come emerged. We are alive with Jesus. Now, did that literally happen while we went underwater? No. But it represents what has happened and what is happening. And it is a witness and testimony to everyone who watches, saying, wow, there is a life that has changed. There is somebody who has surrendered all. It also creates a word picture of like everything that we were and everything that held us back from God and everything that we had done. It's like the water washes it away. The water washes away because of what Jesus has done. So essence, today at Focus Church, it's laundry day. In a few moments, there's going to be some people who come up to share with you saying, hey, I've surrendered all. I'm on God's team now. And I'm living for Him. But I also believe that it's possible that there is somebody here today that you're wishing, wait, maybe I need to make that decision too. That thing you're talking about, Pastor Ryan, as far as talking about needing Jesus, and that there's nothing, I've tried doing lots of things, but I didn't realize it's just a decision. But it's probably the hardest decision we could ever make, to surrender all. Today's the day that you can make that decision. Today's the day that you can say, from this day forward, May 21st, 2017, I decided to give up on trying to earn eternal life. Trying to figure out what must I do and trying to check something off the laundry list and just accept that really all God wants is all of me. And if that's you, in just a few moments, you have the opportunity to pray and to make that decision and make today today. And there's also, I believe, some in this room who's saying, wait, Pastor Ryan, after hearing what baptism is about, I think today is the day that I'm supposed to let people know, but I didn't sign up. Well, I have some good news for you. That's okay. Because today, you can be included. But you can get baptized too. It just means you're not as prepared as some other people. You might go home a little wet, but you know what? It's laundry day here at Focus Church. It's time to show people what God's been doing on the inside. And for those of you who I've followed Jesus for a long time, don't ever get to the point that you think you've arrived. We all have something to surrender. We all have something to work on. And I encourage you, I challenge you to pray that dangerous prayer. God, what is it? What is it that I'm supposed to be surrendering? And it's dangerous because He'll answer it. He'll show you. It's Him when your first reaction is, wait, not that. But then you have a choice. Will you obey? So right now, I'd like for you to close your eyes, lower your heads. No one's looking around. See, because this is an important moment. This is a big deal. The church doesn't exist for anything else but this. to help people find God. To help people find God. And today, if that's you, that you're saying, Pastor Ryan, I want to be sure. I want to know that I know that I know that I have surrendered all, that I give it, that I may not have it all figured out, but I want God in charge of my life. I want to live for Him. I want to accept His free gift. I've tried too many times of my own to figure it out, to try to do that laundry list like this guy in Luke chapter 18. Not ever realizing that it's nothing you can do. It's just something you decide. If that's you today, if you would like to say, Pastor Ryan, I want Jesus in charge of my life today. Just slip your hand up and just let me know real quick. If that's you, today's the day. Thank you, Jesus. God, thank you for loving us so much that you paid the price for us. That you gave up your son, that you held nothing back. You sent your son so that those who believe in him could have eternal life. It's not something that we can do. It's not something that we can be good enough. It's something we accept. Help us today, God. But God, I think there's a bigger issue on the table today, and that is this idea of surrendering all. And I believe that, God, that there is no one in this room immune, perfect in this area. That we all have something that you could shine that spotlight on of needing to surrender something to you. Maybe it's our actions, maybe it's our words, maybe it's our attitude, maybe it's someone we love. And you're saying, is it more important than me? Talk to him right now. Pray that prayer that says, God, what is it that I need to surrender to you? He hears you right where you are at. Answers that prayer for you, I implore you, obey him. There's no better way. No better way. Obey. When God revealed what he revealed to me, I knew I had to fix it. I didn't even realize what was going on. I'd just been busy. It's not that I was trying to do something intentional, but on the spotlight, and I knew I had to obey. So whatever God is showing you today, obey. Commit to giving it to him quickly. And the promise we have is that no one who has ever sacrificed home, spouse, brothers and sisters, parents, children, whatever, out. It will all come back multiplied many times over in your lifetime. And then the bonus of eternal life. So God, we give you us. This is us. We surrender. In Jesus' name we all said,